And once again, welcome back. Once again, LI in the AM. I'm Tom Shalero with Lisa Navarra. Now, we're going to put some perspective here as far as our next guest is concerned. Our next guest is John Navarra. John's got an extensive background as a pharmacist. He sat on the member, or does sit on the member of the New York State Board of Pharmacy, an Albany-based advisory committee. Just has done a lot involved with five different pharmacies as either a participating member or a partner or the owner and so on. Just a tremendous individual. Over four decades, I'm going to make an assumption, involved in this. And so the whole idea is there's going to be a vaccine. And vaccine is a drug, and it will have to be produced, and it will have to be distributed. So we're bringing John on our morning show to give us some perspective into this. John Navarra, welcome to our show.
Tom, thank you so much for having me on, and thanks for the introduction. I will say that I was a member of the New York State Board of Pharmacy for almost 20 years, and been involved in the pharmacy arena for too long.
Okay.
But I tell you, some interesting things have been going on, yes. You know, particularly with this, COVID-19 issue that has literally brought pharmacy, both independent and chain, to the forefront. Both the federal government and the state government has recognized the fact that they need a network of substantial providers to service the patients. And now with the potential onset. Of having a COVID-19 vaccine on the market, hopefully within the next few months, we need to be able to distribute that vaccine and immunize patients fairly rapidly, efficiently, and you know just basically get the job done. Pharmacy is actually a natural in this scenario. There are 95% of the entire population of the country lives within 5 miles of a pharmacy. And there are approximately, most people probably don't know this, there are approximately 5,000 pharmacies just in New York State alone, half of which are chain and half of which are independently owned operations. The federal government, basically mandated that pharmacies be allowed to, just to give you an example of the value of this network, the federal government basically said, okay, you know, we're going to allow pharmacies to test.
Oh,
and
okay.
Same thing in New York State. Mm. There is a pilot program of 51 independent pharmacies right now as we speak, testing, you know, for COVID patients. This is huge. This is something that is sort of unprecedented in the industry. But you know, we finally come to the point where the network, this huge network of pharmacies, are recognized as a substantial value, you know, to the healthcare system.
Do you think the pharmacies are going to be equipped? I mean, we all are anxiously awaiting, and it's nice to hear from you again, John Navarra, again, one of our leading pharmacists here in the state of New York, as far as the ability to handle what is literally going to be millions of vaccines. Now, a lot of folks say, well, I'm not going to take part in it, it's too soon, or so on. But we are seeing some, as you heard, as you were waiting on hold, what the national news is starting to say about the COVID-19 increases. It's still out there, John. People need the help. They need what you provide in your professional career is some sort of a medicine. And we'll be talking about other medicines also. But do you think your folks, your industry is going to be in the ability to vaccinate people?
I absolutely. I will say that New York State education law permits pharmacists to immunize in the number of different disease states: influenza, pneumococcal, meningococcal, tetanus, diphtheria, herpes zoster. And New York State passed a law allowing COVID vaccine to be added to this list of drugs. You think about it: 5,000 pharmacies. If you have pharmacy, it immunizes 50 or 100, patients a day. Mm. That's thousands and thousands.
Okay.
Of patients,
yeah,
a day that are immunized. As it stands right now, on the influenza alone, without the other disease states, pharmacists on a yearly basis immunize practically 1.5 million patients a year.
Okay.
Just from pharmacies.
So you guys are going to gear up and be prepared to do this, because the emergency rooms, the doctor's offices, is no way it's going to happen on that.
No, you'll have hospitals, yeah. Emergency rooms. You're certainly right about the emergency rooms. Hospital offices, clinics, will certainly do their part. But I will tell you that the pharmacy networks are geared up to provide this. To provide the service, and it'll be substantial. Be substantial.
So, good morning, John. Thank you for joining us today.
Hello, Lisa.
I was wondering. So, if pharmacies can administer the test, you mentioned that this is huge. Is this something that the pharmacists have wanted and pushed for in the past? And finally, with COVID, this is something that they will be allowed to do for patients?
Well, influenza, pneumococcal, meningococcal, we've been doing this for a number of years. We've been doing this. So it's not, immunizing for various disease states is certainly not new to pharmacy. I mean, there are certain requirements the pharmacists have to meet. They have to be certified as immunizers. I would tell you, out of the 5,000 pharmacies in the state, the vast, vast majority have pharmacists which are certified to immunize. So we've been doing this for a long time. And we will certainly be waiting for CDC guidelines to steer us in the right direction in terms of how we, need to apply this vaccine when it happens.
Additionally, will pharmacists be able to test for COVID to see if a person is positive or not?
No, like I mentioned before, there is a pilot program with 51 independent pharmacies. That doesn't include the chains now that are already doing some of this. This pilot program involves 51 pharmacies that are actually testing for COVID in New York State. This is another huge arena. Again, think about it. You have 5,000 pharmacies, state of New York. If a pharmacy is testing 100 potential COVID patients a day, it's millions of patients that are being tested on a yearly basis. It's happening as we speak. It's happening now.
You know, there's obviously, maybe you can shed some light on this thing. If you remember this pandemic, and that you folks were so much involved in and trying to look at the different treatments that were out there and so on, it became an evolving process. I have a doctor that comes on the program once, say, our midday program once a week, and things have changed from March to now. And if you remember, obviously you do, in the beginning, the hydroxychloroquine was like, wow, this was the drug, and the president made a statement at a press conference, well, I take it every morning. Then all of a sudden, it got downgraded. No, don't take this thing unless you meet the following conditions and you have to have this other thing. Now, it almost seems, and I've been reading, you're my expert today to tell us, it almost seems to be now being brought back. The president of Brazil, who literally is suffering from COVID-19, announced yesterday he's taking hydroxychloroquine in order to make himself feel better with COVID-19. You're our pharmacist, once again, John Navarro, one of our leading pharmacists in New York State. What is your thoughts on this particular drug, which you guys dispense all the time? The drug's been around for a long time.
Yeah, the hydroxychloroquine has been around since the 50s. It's a very effective drug. Probably one of the few drugs that we have for disease states like lupus. It's used for malaria. It's used for rheumatoid arthritis. The cost of that drug actually is about between 40 and 50 cents a pill. Quite frankly, before the COVID piece came in line, the cost of that drug was about 10 cents a pill. It went up since
wow,
then.
Yeah.
What do I think? I will tell you that just from my personal experience with some associates, friends, and others that have taken it, that if taken early on, it's probably, and this is, my unfettered personal opinion, it's probably a very effective drug. We've had some downside in terms of some testing and pilots that were going on. In New York State, pharmacists were pretty much banned from dispensing it, actually, because of the government in New York State felt that there was some potential heart problems that might occur if patients took the drug. Quite frankly, again, this drug has been around since 1950, and the side effects, from my experience, have been minimal. From minimal to zero.
Oh, okay.
To zero.
Well, that's a big factor.
Yeah, exactly. On this particular product, I think, and again, this is my personal opinion, part of the problem with some of these tests are they hydroxychloroquine seems to be effective if taken early on.
Early on, once you are diagnosed positive with COVID.
Well, diagnosed once you get the symptoms. Yeah. You know, and you know it's pretty obvious that you're coming down with it. That's when hydroxychloroquine probably should be taken. The in New York State, it's only allowed in clinical trials in a hospital. But quite frankly, and again, this is just my opinion, by the time you get to the hospital, it's not early on. It's not early on. There were a couple of studies, fairly new studies, that were very positive on the on hydroxychloroquine. The Henry Ford Health study, which is there was six very substantial hospitals in Detroit, did a study on 2,541 patients, and the death rate of patients when they were admitted to the hospital was about 26.4%. Patients on just the hydroxychloroquine alone, the death rate was reduced to 13.5%. So it was about 50% effective, which is huge. Just prior to that, there was a Yale study. Hydroxychloroquine is currently the first line for people hospitalized within the COVID-19 and with COVID-19 in the Yale New Haven, Connecticut complex.
So, John, right now, where are we with it? Is it being used? Is it not being dispensed?
In New York State, I will tell you that pharmacists, actually can't dispense it for COVID. They could dispense it for lupus, malaria, RA. Yeah. Think that needs to change. I will tell you that anecdotally, myself at Town Drug, the pharmacy that one of my pharmacies, we have students that participate in the learning process, and they do internships. It's required for graduation and for licensing. And one student that during her tenure actually came down with the virus. Mm. She got a really, really good dose of it. Not only did she come out, the rest of her family who lived in different apartments, I'm talking about five or six families, came down with it also. Every one of them he took the hydroxychloroquine and did fine. And they actually noticed, she certainly noticed a big difference after taking the first dose that evening. Mm, wow. I think more work has to be done on it. I think I'm only hoping that the fact that these other studies came out, when they did come out, that, weren't necessarily, positive. I hope they weren't tainted by political issues.
Right. Is there something that we can do if we go to our doctor, or is there something that we can do to help encourage this medication as an option if we get COVID to be available to us?
Well, I think in New York State, what you need to do is lobby the state legislature or the governor's office to allow it to be available in New York State to patients that are prescribed this drug by the physicians.
Right. John, before I let you go, as we're starting to click down on the time, I've always wondered this about your profession. Is there a lot of consultation or any consultation between the medical profession and you folks in terms of some of the newer drugs that are out there, types of treatment, where doctors can more accurately prescribe medicine for their patients, utilizing the professionalism of the pharmaceutical industry?
Well, I will tell you that every practice is different. Every pharmacy practice is different. Just as every physician's practice is different. I tell you what we do is we review patient profiles on a regular basis. We have dedicated clinical pharmacists that interact with physicians on a regular basis to discuss drug regimens. We're certainly very big in the adherence arena in terms of, helping patients stay on their medications and take them when they're supposed to. But just to give you a quick example, if a patient isn't touched or notified within 72 hours of a discharge out of a hospital, and to have a discussion with a health professional about their medications, good chance that patient is going to be readmitted. So pharmacy, I would tell you today, is an integral part of the healthcare system. Mm. Pharmacy is definitely involved with very close communication, collaboration with the not only the patient but with the prescribers.
Yeah, it's so important, that information, and I'm glad we were able to get that out there. Once again, John Navarra, one of our leading pharmacists here in the great state of New York. John, thank you so much. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you,
Tom. Take care, Lisa.
Thank you. You too.